Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes. Es para mí una bendición muy grande poder estar acá en Buenos Aires.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present. It is a great blessing for me to be here in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and to ask God for His blessings upon each one of you, and for everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, there in Puerto Rico, and in other countries. Today is Sunday, August 31st of this year, 2025, in which we give thanks to God for our life, for our health, and for living in such a wonderful time. Greetings to my friend, my brother Julio Angel Cruz, whose birthday is today there in Puerto Rico. May God bless him greatly and continue to use him greatly in the work of God at this end time. And also, very warm greetings to the Reverend Mauricio, who is with us, and his wife Ellie, and his entire family, and all the people who have come with him. May God bless you greatly, and may you leave this place with the blessing of God. Our brother Mauricio is carrying out a very important work, not only in Argentina, but in Chile also, also in Brazil, and that work has even reached Haiti, because they are even asking for materials there, and I don't know which other countries. So may God keep you and bless you, Mauricio, and may He continue to use you greatly in that work that you're carrying out. May He keep you and protect you from all danger. And above all, may He continue to open the scriptures to you, to open your understanding, so that you understand the entire program that pertains to this end time. For this occasion, let us read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which is the scripture that Dr. William Soto used in the message we will be listening to, titled Discerning the Spiritual Things. And he tells us here in the Sacred Scriptures, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and on, "And I, brethren, when I come to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He writes above that theology. And next to that verse, he draws Star of David. "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling." He draws another Star of David there. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of a man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And he also draws another Star of David there on the left, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, discerning the spiritual things. You may please be seated. In the message, The Power of God, preached on December 9, 2012, in Calle, Puerto Rico, Dr. William Soto tells us there, in this message, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ had power in him by which miracles and wonders took place, like the case of the woman with the blood issue for 12 years. And in 12 years, with that issue, an issue that the doctors could not solve, a problem like that, then she was in a very difficult situation, hopeless and at risk of death. You also heard the reading of the case of Jairus' daughter, who was 12 years old. Jesus Christ attends two cases. The 12-year-old girl who had died, daughter of the ruler priest of the synagogue of that place, and also the woman with the blood issue, who had been ill for 12 years. Number 12 is very important. 12 tribes and so on. Now, for both cases, Christ's power had to be manifested. Now remember, look, in the ministry of Jesus, there we have seen these two cases. And in the ministry of the seventh seal, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, we see two cases that are seen there. And one was the one of the woman lying on the stretcher, and the other, the man on crutches. Two cases where the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of the Reverend William Branham, it catches his attention. Even though the prayer line seems so long, and notice he highlights those two cases. And the woman, notice, she says that she was with that condition for about 20 years. And just as there is the representation in that number 12, as we read there, the 12 tribes. And number 20, notice, is what also shows, typifies, represents the half hour of silence. In other words, in that case of the woman who was on stretcher for about 20 years, it is showing us there that time, that period of time of Revelation chapter 8, where it is seen that the seventh seal is opened in heaven. And with the opening of the seventh seal, is that that silence takes place. In Revelation chapter 8, is where it shows us and tells us Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. What produced that silence in heaven? The opening of the seventh seal. The seventh seal is the second coming of the Lord. Now, he continues to say here, now for both cases, the power of Christ had to be manifested. But on different occasions, Christ said that he did nothing except what he saw the Father do. That is what he did. He said, the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. It was the divine power, God's power in Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit that was in Jesus. And therefore, that power is infinite. What prevents some people from receiving what they're seeking or asking for or await from God is not that the power has limitations. It's the person's faith, the one that makes the divine power work. In the book of quotations, which is a book of excerpts of messages preached by the Reverend William Branham, forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, in the spirit and power of Elijah in his fourth manifestation there in North America, who was the Elijah that was to come to prepare the way for the Lord, just like the Elijah who came in the first coming of the Lord, in the man named John the Baptist, where God was operating the ministry of Elijah in its third manifestation. Now he tells us here, on page 55, paragraph 476, as much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have, because in you dwells the power to make heavens and earth. God dwells in you, and you are sons and daughters of God. Amen. There you are. But it's your faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. What we need today is not pray for more power. You got enough power to make a new earth. Because remember that when Abraham and Sarah were rejuvenated, it was around the same word that they received from Melchizedek, from Elohim. He spoke that promise to Abraham that he would have a son. And it was around that word that caused them to be rejuvenated. And around the word that God has given us at this end time, around it, every son and daughter of God will be transformed, will obtain the eternal and glorified body. Therefore, you will have power in all of its fullness, because it's around that word that will produce that change in you and in me. What you need is faith to use that power. And that faith is the rapturing faith. There's no other faith to make that power work, for it to produce that eternal and glorified body. Just as faith was used to produce the new birth by believing in the first coming of the Lord, and a body was obtained. Because if it is a new birth, if it is a birth, a body has to be born. And it was born in the sixth dimension. And thus we came to form part of the mystical body of Christ, which is His church. That's how we make contact with eternal life. And that was in the first coming of the Lord. And to obtain the eternal and glorified body, that faith is required, that rapturing faith, based on the second coming of the Lord. Faith has to be based on something, just as it was based in the first coming of the Lord, in a man, in the word Jesus of Nazareth, the young carpenter of Nazareth. There, God fulfilled the first coming of the Lord. What you need is faith to use that power. What you need is control that life and live such a godly life that when you ask God anything, you know. In other words, there shouldn't be anything that limits that power from being manifested. Control your lives. We have confidence in God of that. He writes there on the left, faith, and he draws a Star of David. He draws it. And above as well, on the left, a Star of David. And notice, there he says, he writes, Revelation faith to use the power. Now also in 159, quotations page 159, paragraph 1417, there he tells us, if Einstein had only had the spiritual application, as he had the physical application, as he studied the law of light, and so forth, he could have told us something. When I heard his message on that great center somewhere into the skies, that every contact with that center, you could create Earth, do anything, and the power would be unlimited. See? He has seen that. That is, Einstein has seen that. And he writes, Einstein and the law of light. He also writes there, the adoption. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, in other words, two people can have the same problem. Both people can be prayed for. In other words, a prayer may be done for both people, and one receives the healing and the other doesn't, even though healing was already received on Calvary's cross, that is, in the first coming of the Lord. But it is like when there is, let's say, a reward or a check for a person, and an identical check for another person, one takes it, catches it, makes it effective for him. The other one knows he received that check, but he keeps it. He doesn't cash it to make it effective. He did not use it consciously. He wasn't conscious of the power he had in his hand. Notice they may have the message, but if they're not conscious of what they have, it is of no use for them. A purchasing power to buy the things that he wanted and that check would cover. Notice in the message, who is this Melchizedek? The Reverend William Branham says there, on page 21, God vindicates that. That's always been right. God vindicates it to be true. Show plainly the predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. Did you get it? Let me say that again. The predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. People might be making like, think they are, but the real redemption is those that are predestinated, because the very word redeem means to bring back. Is that right? The redeem is something. To redeem anything is bring it back to its original place. Hallelujah. So it's only the predestinated will be brought back, because the others didn't come from there. See? Bring back. There he also writes at the top, in the redemption equals only the predestinated. And on the left he also writes, the others did not come from God. To redeem equals to bring back. And notice there is a place here where he writes in the notes where it says, why do some believe and others don't? Because not everyone is ordained to believe. Why do some believe and others don't? Because not everyone is ordained to believe. Now Dr. William Soto continues to say here, it's by faith that the power of God comes forth from God through Christ and becomes effective in the person. It's the hand of faith which was used by that woman with the blood issue to touch Jesus. And as contact point, she touched the garment, the robe of Jesus. In the message, Discerning the Body of the Lord, on page 1, there he tells us, beginning the message, he says, it isn't the discernment that heals a person. It just sets them in condition to look up and accept their healing that Jesus has already did for them. See, the laying on of hands is a very good thing because it's scriptural, but it isn't a gentle way of getting healed. In the Bible, there was a Jew that his daughter was very sick unto death, and she died. And he said to Jesus, my daughter is lying, is nigh unto death, but come and lay your hands on her, and she'll get well. And he writes laying of hands. And on the left he writes discernment. But when the Roman, the centurion, the Gentile, when his servant was sick, he said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Just speak the word. That's what turned the heart of Jesus. Didn't have to lay hands on him. He just wanted to hear the word. And there he writes, speak the word. Now notice here, on top in the margin he writes, discernment equals understanding, intelligence. To discern equals to comprehend, to understand. Knowledge equals science, understanding, intelligence, prudence, wisdom. I will repeat these three. Discernment equals understanding, intelligence. To discern equals to comprehend, to understand. Knowledge equals science, understanding, intelligence, prudence, wisdom. Now Dr. William Soto continues to say a bit further on, we have the case of the daughter of Jairus the priest, who died at the age of 12. She was sick, and Jairus the priest, a ruler of the synagogue, went to Jesus and kneeled, bowed down before Jesus and asked him to go and pray for his daughter, who was gravely ill. And while he was on the way, they told Jairus to leave Jesus the master alone because his daughter had already died. But Jesus said to him, fear not. Jesus told him to be at peace. Now notice there Jesus was going to discern, make known that his daughter was not dead, but rather she was asleep. And notice on this message, Christ is revealed in his own word on page 18. There Jesus is going to give knowledge to the father of that girl, to Jairus. He says on page 15 of the message, Christ is revealed in his own word, he says, now notice, and there is not any error in the scriptures. Jesus, the word of God, perceives the thoughts that's in the heart. The word of God is stronger, sharper, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is sharper, more powerful than a two-edged sword, even a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the mind. See, it goes way down into the mind and pulls out and discerns. What is discern? Make known, reveal out. See? It is like Elisha with Gehazi. He told him, that's there in Kings, where it says that he asked him where he was. Where were you? And he told him, no, I haven't gone anywhere. And 2 Kings chapter 5. Notice it says, verse 20, because there he had gone to Naaman, and he asked of him for what Elisha had not received. It says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master had spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. And Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, notice, there he started to lie. He had not sent him at all. It is like some people use other people's names to say, so-and-so told me such and such a thing, when that wasn't the case. That's using someone's name in vain. The person is already identifying with Gehazi there. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him, and bound two talents of silver in two bags, with two changes of garment, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he come to the tower, he took them from their hand, and bestowed them in the house, and he let them men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? Those questions, notice, when God asked Job the question, where were you? In other words, when God asks a question, you have to know how to answer it. And here, the prophet is asking that question to Gehazi. Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? There he was discerning what had happened. It was the Spirit of God showing the prophet what Gehazi was doing. See that Gehazi didn't believe in Elisha? He did not know that the power of God was in Elisha. Perhaps it was so common and so normal for that prophet to be there working and carrying out everything that was happening, that he did not believe in him. Because the unbeliever, no matter how close he is to the prophet, he remains an unbeliever. Went not mine heart. Notice we see it in Judas Iscariot, right beside Jesus. And he was the one that betrayed him. Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white snow. Now notice how there are consequences for those who lie. There in Exodus tells us also about this. Exodus 20:7. Where there It says on verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And there we see that it was so. There was a result for taking the name in vain, the name of Elisha. Now he goes on to say here, "In Christ is revealed in his own word." What is discerned? Make known, reveal out. And that's what the Word of God does. Today we say, the Catholic Church is the Word of God. The Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostals, the Tabernacle. That's wrong. The Word is the revelation. God revealed by the Word. And there he writes, the Word discerns in another dimension. And look here, he also writes to us, to discern equals to make known, to reveal. To discern equals to make known, to reveal. And above he writes, the word discerns equals revelation discerns. The word discerns equals revelation discerns. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, reading from that scripture of Luke chapter 8, verse 49 to 54. He says, "Fear not," Jesus says to Jairus, "believe only and she shall be made whole." In other words, that he should believe. They were saying that she was dead, but he said to him, "Weep not. She is not dead, but sleeping, because believers don't die, they sleep, and they will be awakened, resurrected at some point." Every child of God who have departed from this earth is resting, is sleeping. Brother William continues to read there, and they laughed at him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he says, they laughed at Jesus, who said that the girl was sleeping, that she wasn't dead. And Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and the girl's father and mother, and went in where the girl was, it says. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, because the rest were a bunch of unbelievers, who did not believe that the girl would live, that she would be resurrected if she was dead, as they said. He goes on to read, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, that is Jesus, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed at him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. In the message, Perfect Strength, rather Perfect Faith, on page 18. There he tells us, notice now another. Perfect faith is a master of all circumstances. Perfect faith, master all circumstances. No matter what it is, it master it. When you believe anything, do anything, and you got faith in what you're doing, no matter what the circumstances is, that don't have one thing to do with it. See, it masters that circumstance. If it is in a room of sickness, and the Lord's revealed that these certain things is going to happen, you just speak it and go on. You speak it and go on without doubting it. Persevering, pressing on that. Just don't ask any questions. It's already over. Just keep going. See? It masters all circumstances. He writes there on the right, faith masters all circumstances, the spoken word. And he also writes on the left, when you do something and you have faith, it will be so. It will not fail. It masters all circumstances. Well, if you do this, so-and-so going to do, you see, it's already God, it's mastered, see? Faith believes that God will work it out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it anyhow, see? It masters all circumstances. And faith and love is relation, because you can't have faith unless you got love, because your faith is in God, who is the very essence of love. Faith and love works together. There he writes, there is no faith without love. Now he says, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, notice, Jesus says to the girl, rise. The father and the mother were already at peace. They were believing. And Peter and James and John were also believers. He did not allow the unbelievers to enter so they wouldn't contaminate the mind and the heart of Jairus and his wife. Because why would anyone want an unbeliever inside? It's best to leave him outside to take him out because he can poison those who are inside. And God doesn't put on a show for the unbelievers. The unbeliever is always an unbeliever. Notice on this message, the ministry of Christ. The Reverend William Branham says there, on page 7, every time that God is ready to do something on the earth, he always, first before he sends judgment, he sends mercy first. And when man spurns mercy, there is nothing left but judgment. Is that true? If you won't accept mercy, then there is nothing left for you but judgment. So God, before he does anything, he always foreshows the people. If you'll believe it, I believe that our being here in Connersville this day is a foreshadowed. God does not do things just to be a clown. He isn't. He doesn't put a show. He doesn't put on shows. He does it for a purpose. Every word goes right to its place. Not one jot or one tittle can fail. It stands forever. I think of that scripture, that word is confirmed in heaven forever. Nobody doubts it in heaven. It's we, mortals, that doubt it. Everything in heaven believes his word. What God says, that settles it. Thy word is settled in heaven forever. It's already settled. Now notice. Then just before the coming of Jesus, which had been prophesied from the Garden of Eden, remember that the seventh seal has been announced since Genesis. John the Baptist was prophesied to come. And Zacharias, I want you to notice the family now, a religious, holy man. Something awful had happened in their family. They wanted a baby. Them days, it was a disgrace not to have babies. Today, it's a disgrace to have one nearly. How it's changed. People don't have time to raise children. Now listen. This is my afternoon to stay here with the Lord in the services. I just say what he tells me to say. But it's a sad day when they created washing machines and dishwashers and everything. They gave the women all this time to lay around bar rooms and things and drink and smoke cigarettes and run out over the country. In other words, all those washing machines and dishwashers and all those things, what they do is give women time, as Brother Branham says, so they can go and do all those things. That's right. Come, busybody, idlers, plenty of time, nothing to do. It'd be better if you had the scrub brush and back in the wash with these kind of wash machines, the way my mother used to do it. That's right. Now I'm not, three dots, that is, I'm not against that. Like when he said that God, he said there through Jesus, who was God incarnate, he said, go and preach the gospel. And he said, he didn't command to make schools, hospitals, and all those things. He said, preach. Now, it's not that we are against education. Now he goes on to say, not only that, but men, they have to set the time up so they can get out and play golf or something like that. Take a little exercise. Get some of that fat off of them. What a pity. And the rest of the world starving to death. You think we're not going to receive damnation for these things? Sure, we will. I've left the nations, them poor little children, wringing their hands and their eyes and crying. Their little dirty faces like that, crying for a piece of bread. In America, sometimes in the afternoon or mid-afternoon, an $8 plate, and half of it racked off in the garbage can to feed the hogs. It's not right. And brother, the time's coming when God will make us pay for those things too. But this man, Zacharias and Elizabeth, his wife, were righteous people, holy, prayed all the time. And now it come time for Isaiah's prophecy to be fulfilled. Yet, it had been spoke 800 or 712 years before. There'll be a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Watch the prophetic wheels of God. Just the time that prophecy is ready to be fulfilled, the other cog will be there when that one gets there. Jesus will be here just exactly on time. The church will go up just exactly on time. Won't be nothing fail. Just as God has ordained it, so will it be. Now notice how he tells us there that whenever God sends, before sending judgment, he sends mercy. He sends the warning. Warning, then the judgment. Now, he goes on to say, no matter what he sees, he will always be an unbeliever. In other words, the unbeliever, no matter what he sees, he will always be an unbeliever. He will always say, that was a trick. Here we can see that the person's spirit, when his days on earth are over, it leaves the person. And we don't know how long it's near the body. And Jesus tells her to get up. Therefore, he is speaking to the girl's spirit, which has to enter the body for her to wake up. It's like when they wake up a person, they call him, and therefore the person's spirit has to enter the body. If he's dreaming, he was somewhere else, he had come out of the body, he has to come in to wake up. Now remember, when we spoke the other day, on Sunday, I think it was, where we talk about the power to even resurrect someone who has departed during those days when faith is so high that the elect will be able to speak the word. And if that person has to be alive, then by the word of that elect, they will resurrect. We have already seen there the case of Jesus with Jairus' daughter. The spirit was still roaming around there. And all that needed to be done was to call the spirit to come back in. In other words, the church will have that power without limitations. Now he goes on to say a bit further on, in other words, speaking to us about the stages that the Reverend William Branham went through, the first and second pool. The first pool, he says. The first pool and second pool. So the first pool, the sign that he had in his hand, where the people placed their hand on Brother Branham's hands, and if the person had any illness, Brother Branham's arms would swell. and he knew what illness the person had. Just like Moses also had a sign in his hand, and we find that he was also given another sign, the sign of discernment of the Spirit, where he knew the thoughts of people's heart through the Holy Spirit, through that power of the Holy Spirit to discern the thoughts of the heart. For the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, which is a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. It was the power of God through the Holy Spirit showing the Reverend William Branham the thoughts of the people's heart, because God knows the thoughts of the human being. In the Book of the Seals, on page 242, there he tells us about all of this, of which that word came to the thought, in Moses' time, that is, from God's thought to Moses' thought, and then he would speak, and then that thought would become the spoken word. Because until that word is spoken, it is a thought. It remains there. But when you speak it, then it's fulfilled. When we see that scripture, that at the end of time, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive will be changed. Well, that word, when you read it, and you say, I will be transformed, that scripture is for me, then you already pronounce that word with faith, based on that promise, in that prophecy, in that promise given to the children of God at this end time, and automatically becomes a living word. And the time will come when it will be fulfilled. Because you spoke it, you confessed it. On page 242 of the Book of the Seals, it says, God dwelt with us in flesh. He was the Word. Before a word, it's a thought. And a thought has to be created. Alright, so God's thoughts become creation when it was spoken by the Word. That's when He presents to you as a thought, His thought, and is revealed to you. Then it's still a thought until you speak it. That's the reason. Moses went out to pray, the pillar of fire around him, and he said, go, hold your stick towards the east and say, call for flies. There he writes, on hold your stick, he writes, the creative word. And on the left he had written, thought. Go hold your stick towards the east and say, call for flies. There's no flies, but he went and held the stick there and said, let there be flies. No flies at all yet. Went on back, but the words God thought had already been spoken. It's a word. Now it's got to happen. Now, don't you see where Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, not if I say it, but you say to this mountain, be moved. That is the power He is giving us. The power that He promised that the church would have. And the first thing, I guess, in Moses' time, big old green fly begin to buzz. And after a while, there was 5 pounds per yard. See? Where'd they come from? He, God created them. Don't you see how? God can destroy this world tonight with knots if He wanted to. Well, He could pile knots plumb to the moon. Only thing He could do is just say, let there be knots to the moon. That would be all there would be to it. No chemicals or nothing. They just keep on growing, growing, growing on. See? He can do what He wants to. He's got the Creator. The only thing to do is just speak it. That's right. He is the Creator. And if He has to speak, well, He needs a mouth, an instrument. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. surely the Lord God will do nothing without first revealing His secrets, what? His thoughts, unto His servants, His prophets. On page 432, also in the Book of the Seals, the Reverend William Branham tells us here, now we know the fire in the 19th chapter of the coming of Christ proceeded His sword from His mouth, which was the Word. Is that right? The Word. Oh, if you get this material now for that seal tomorrow night. See? The Word is the thing that God slays His enemy by. See? Now look here. When these prophets are prophesying there, if any man mistreats them, harms them, fire proceeded from their mouth. Holy Ghost fire, the Word. The Word is God. Word is fire. Word is the Spirit, see? Proceeded from their mouth. Look at Moses. Let's see what comes from his mouth. In Egypt, they were mistreating these Jews. God put the words in Moses' mouth, see? Is God's thoughts going into Moses' heart. He goes over now to express it. Then it becomes the Word. Stretched his hand forth, said, let there be flies. And here come flies. Look here. And if any man hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoureth their enemy. See, there it is. He's speaking about the ministries of Moses and Elijah, Revelation 11. They can speak what they want to, and there it happens. Amen. And if any man hurt them, they must in this manner be killed. Brother, God writes on the scene here. They have power to shut the heavens, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Elijah, he knows how to do it. He's done it before. Amen. Moses knows how to do it. Moses knows how to do it. He's done it before. That's the reason they was kept back. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, he's reading here from quotations 119. I don't say the Lord tells me this. This will be what will start. Here the rapturing faith will begin for the going away, for us to go. Now notice, this is what on this page 119 of the Book of Quotations, page 119. Paragraph 1057. There he tells us, on the right column, he says, the third is properly identified. See, we know where it is. So, the third pool is here. It is so sacred that I mustn't say much about it. As he told me in the beginning, he said, this, say nothing of it. You remember that years ago? It speaks for itself. See? But I've tried to explain the others. In other words, the first and second pool. And I made a mistake. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this. This will be a thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away, see? Now notice on 111, page 111, paragraph 975, there he tells us, think of that, the Word of God is that a discerner of the intents of the heart. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word made flesh, hallelujah. The Word operating in human flesh by physical signs, by material signs, by scriptural signs, perfectly, to bring to you a perfect faith for a perfect rapture. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages and a star of David. And above it he writes, the Word in flesh brings the perfect faith, rapturing faith. Now, Dr. William Soto keeps saying here, now notice, that manifestation of the third pool, where the absolute power of God will be manifested in all of its fullness, that third pool will be what will give those who are going to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb, it will give them the faith to be transformed and raptured and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He continues to read from that paragraph. I must lay quiet for just a little while. Now remember, and who is listening to this tape, you might see such a change in my ministry right away, dropping back, not going up, dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. And then when that time comes and the press comes to a place to where you're pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pool then, see? And it'll be absolutely to the total lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. Here in this book of quotations, there is a part edited out that is perhaps included in yours. But in this one, it skips from one place, from one part to another. But there, in that message, he speaks to us there about that mark of the beast, in that message of look away to Jesus. If you can read there, you see how it skipped almost to the end. And that part, well, is very important for the bride to know it. Now he goes on to say, in other words, it will be a powerful manifestation of God in all his fullness for the lost, for the world, but it will also be for the church, Christianity, and the bride. In other words, it will be for the foolish virgins or sleeping virgins, and also for the wise virgins. What? The third pool. And therefore, when the Jews see that, they will say, this is what we are waiting for. There they will see the power of God, of the Messiah, manifested in all of his fullness. In the message, The Feast of the Trumpets, on page 39, the Reverend William Branham tells us here, watch, they took a 300-mile journey down to Gerar, quite a long journey for an old man. And Sarah, that is, he's talking about Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah even thought they couldn't have family relation. She said, 20 years or more, maybe, before they had had family relation, said, me, an old woman, and my Lord also, have pleasures again like young people? He said, is anything too hard for God? See, nothing is impossible for God. Notice what happened. Immediately, she turned back to a lovely young woman, showing in there, portraying what he's going to do to the royal seed of Abraham, to receive the son that has been promised. She turned back to a young. Look, they went down into Gerar. And what happened? Abimelech the king fell in love with her, said, she's a fair and beautiful, and was going to marry her. Is that right? Old grandma and all them other pretty girls down there. Granny, she is beautiful. She is fair to look upon. See? God changed her body and turned them back. It's a mystery that's to be revealed now in this day by the Son of Man. See? The evening message. See? Turned back. And that was the last sign they seen. Was what? The discernment before the change of the body come. And he writes there, discernment before the transformation comes. And before we can ever receive the Son, what happens? The trumpet of God shall sound. And he writes on the right, the great trumpet. The dead in Christ shall rise first, a new body. And above that he writes, the new body. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, hallelujah, and shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The secret has been made known. The seals are open. The trumpet sounded for Israel. The two prophets is ready to appear. What is it? The church must get off the scene right now so they can appear. He can't deal with two at the same time. He never did. See? The church bride must leave the dispensation of grace and go up to the age of the cornerstone, the dispensation of the kingdom. And there is where the ministries of Moses and Elijah appear. There is where the church bride, by receiving that call of come up hither of Revelation chapter 4, she goes up, she enters, and there she sees those ministries. And those ministries begin to work in that Jewish age. And there is where the Hebrews will see and will say, but this is the one we are waiting for. It will be a great revival. And he says that they will take the gospel where the Gentiles still haven't taken it. He says something like that in the book of quotations. Now he goes on to say, oh brother, watch, exactly to call all, call them out of the denominations and traditions. Now, we see that the church of Pentecost age is finished. The bride must step out of the way to go up now. So the two servants of God in Revelation, the two prophets can appear upon the scene to sound the seventh trumpet to them, make known to them the Christ. To sound the seventh trumpet, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah for Israel, to make Christ known to them, to make known to them the coming of the Lord. And the church bride, which is the seventh seal, which is his coming, is the same as the seventh trumpet to Israel. In other words, what the seventh trumpet, the coming of the Lord, is to the bride, is the seventh trumpet, Moses and Elijah, to Israel. It's the same thing, because the Son of Man comes with his angels. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, a bit further on, he says, since the seventh age of the church is the Pentecostal stage or stage of Pentecostalism, that stage of the church represented by the church of Laodicea in Asia Minor, it says, this here has the vision of the three pools. Now, with the first two pools having ended for the third pool, notice what happens. In other words, after those two stages are over, we now move on to the third. Notice what happens. Now he's reading from the Book of the Seals, page 463. A voice came and said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. Said, now let them alone. And just then he picked me up, he took me up and set me way up high to where a meeting was going on. Looked like a tent or a cathedral. So he had the characteristics of a tent and also of a cathedral. And I looked, and there was a little box, like little place over in the side, Brother William says. And in a giant auditorium or tent or cathedral, a small room measuring 16 feet by 20 feet long is a little box. And now he saw that. And I looked, and there was a little box, like little place over in the side. And I seen that light was talking to somebody above me. That light that you see there on the picture, it whirled away from me, like that, and went over that tent, and said, I'll meet you there. And said, this will be the third pool, and you won't tell it to nobody. And now, notice where that manifestation of the third pool is located, where the power of God will be manifested in all of its fullness without limitations. Therefore, just like on the day of Pentecost, they had to be in a certain place, the Spirit of God would come there to bring forth the new birth in those who were there. And that would begin the new birth being brought forth by the Holy Spirit in the believers in Christ. There won't be limitations in this third pool. Therefore, no matter how far other people are gathered and seeing what is happening there, of course, through television or through screens or satellites and things like that, they will also receive the benefit. Now notice, if the benefit would be received of that which would be carried out from the Great Tent Cathedral and also from the place where that third pool is traveling to, if that benefit is received through the screens, by every means of communication, benefits of blessing, then likewise, that is also the parts we spoke about yesterday, about that dimension where television and all those programs and social media, where they spread things that affect us, that are negative. Perhaps some programs are good, educational, but what others spread out is hatred and things like that, which are not beneficial. See? The same way in screens and such and social media that God uses for blessings, the enemy then also uses them for a curse, not being of blessing for the children of God. But notice, in the third pool, where we were already told that through the screens, the audio, that's why we need to have good screens and good sound systems. Wherever the children of God are, they will be receiving the blessings that the third pool is given. In other words, you don't have to move to be there. You will be able to see clearer if you have a screen in your church, or in some auditorium, or in your home, whatever it may be. And you will be able to see everything up close on the screen. Notice how we were talking about this today, back there, and there were two or three. Those who were here, they saw better than those who were over there. They saw it, because there was the screen, and they had front row seats, because they had it on the screen. See, and that's how it is with the broadcasts. Those who are watching, since the cameras capture all the areas, they see it more clearly than those who are there live. See? Although there are screens in that place as well. And he goes on reading. This will be the third pool, and you won't tell it to nobody, Brother William says. He couldn't explain much. Why? So that imitations would not arise. There are many imitations, many impersonators who have come out in the world, because always, before the right thing comes forth, imitators inspired by the wicked one always rise up to interrupt God's program that will be carried out. Now, to know how to identify that spirit, there's a place here in the Book of the Ages, the book edited, on page 175 of the Book of the Ages. He says, how can you tell the spirits apart? Just give them the word test. If they don't speak that word, they are of the evil one. Just as the evil one deceived the first two brides, he will try to deceive the bride of this last day by trying to get her to hybridize herself through creeds or just plainly turning from the word to any sign that suits her. But God never placed signs ahead of the word. Signs follow the word. And he draws a Star of David to the right, as when Elijah told the woman to make a cake for him first, according to the word of the Lord. When she did, as the word said, the proper sign came. Come to the word first and then watch the miracle. The seed word is energized by the Spirit. And there he writes, on the left, first comes the word and then the miracle. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, now the enemy always tries to imitate in order to interrupt the divine program. That is why he says, the angel says to the Reverend William Branham, don't say nothing about that. Don't give explanations. Because if he explains, then imitators would come forth and say, this is easy to do. This is easy. And they start to imitate in order to interrupt the work of God. Those imitators will face great consequences. They are not anointed by the Spirit of God, but by a spirit of error. On page 153 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1362, now we can really say, now this is a real downpour. I should say a rainpour, because it is raining. I don't know if it was one of the times that Miguel came, Brother Miguel came, he experienced this kind of rain. Now it's my turn, Brother Miguel. But we are comfortable. It feels cool. On page 153, paragraph 1362, he tells us, why did he let this impersonation rise up in these last days? When these things are coming to pass by the true word of God, and let impersonators come up and do the same thing and deny the true word of God, there he draws a Star of David to the left. Remember, the Bible said, as their folly was made manifest, so will these in the last days be made manifest. When the bride is raptured and taken into the sky. Notice, Moses, the true manifested word, never said nothing, just let it go. But he did that so he could harden the hearts of Pharaoh, deceive Pharaoh. And there he writes, spirit of error. In the message, the indictment, notice on page 42, there he tells us, and he is talking about how they crucified the Lord and how they would do so in his second coming, and he continues to say, just modern striptease on the street, singing on choirs, cigarette smoking, tell dirty jokes, three or four husbands, and after the sixth one, and then singing the choir because they got a voice. You poor intellectual, spiritual deprived, rejected upon your own grounds. You read the same Bible that any other man can read. But you've turned down the Spirit of God, till the Bible said you'd be given over to a strong delusion, to believe a lie and be damned by it. Now notice. He writes there, they are given over to a strong delusion. And there is also a place here where he writes, given over to strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. There's another place also. In the book of the seals, on page 171, here the Reverend William Branham says, notice, this writer is nothing but Satan's Superman, the incarnate devil. He's an educated genius. Now, I hope you got your ears open. They was trying one of his children out not long ago on television cast to see if he wasn't smarter than the next man to run for president. See, but however, he's got a lot of wisdom. So has Satan. He tries to sell it. He sold it to Eve. He sold it to us. We've been waiting a Superman. We got it. All right. The whole world is waiting a Superman. They're going to get it. Just wait till the church goes up and Satan is cast out. He'll incarnate. That's right. They want somebody who can really do the job. And there he draws a cornerstone in the ages and an arrow towards the seventh age till the church goes up. Well, goes up from the seventh age to the cornerstone. Educated? This is Satan's Superman with education, with wisdom, with church theology of his own words, of his own making. And he rides his white denominational horse to deceive the people. And he will conquer every religion of the world. Because they're going into the Confederation of Churches and the World Confederation of Churches. And they already got their building built. And everything's setting right in line. There ain't one thing left. Every denomination is stuck right into it. The Federation of Churches. And what's back in it? Rome. And the Pope is now crying, we are all one. Let's come together and walk together. And these people, even some of you full gospel people, have to deny your evangelical teaching to take such a step as that. What have you done? So blind to that denominational thing. You rejected truth. And truth was said before them, and they walked away from it and left it. And now, they've been given over to strong delusion, to believe a lie and be damned with it. That's exactly what it is. And the Antichrist takes it all. And the Bible said that he deceive all. A double one. All upon the face of the earth. Whose names were not written on the those seals from the foundation of the world. Now, if the Bible said he did it, he did it. And he draws to the right a Star of David. And he writes the seals, the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, he deceived those who were not written, those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, further on, the church will know. Just like the church of the Old Testament received the blessing of the first coming of Christ. And those who understood, they received the power of God the day of Pentecost. Those who did not understand, they didn't receive anything. That is how it will be with the coming of Christ to his church at the last day. And they will see the power of God coming forth in his final manifestation in all his fullness. And many people will hold on to Christ in his final manifestation with the hand of faith. They will hold on to Christ. And the power of God will come forth towards those people in all of its fullness. How can the power come forth without limitations and in all of its fullness from all those elect of God at this end time? Because they will have held on to the second coming of the Lord. They will obtain the petitions of their heart. Oh, and also for our family members. Because that is one of the five manifestations of the power of God that was shown to the Reverend William Branham, where he, the Holy Spirit, operated those manifestations through him. When he spoke the word for the squirrels to be created, where there were none. When he spoke the word over a storm for it to stop and cease. When he spoke the word over sisters Hattie Wright's sons, for them to be saved. When he spoke the word over the tumor his wife had, and him being at a distance without her hearing, he spoke the word, and the tumor disappeared. And upon the spoken word over a little fish that had been dead for half an hour and resurrected. It didn't even have entrails, because when it was caught, they turned it inside out, as it were inside out. They took out all the entrails, and it was thrown in. Now look, it was there for half an hour. That represents the half hour of silence. After half an hour, which is almost half an hour, that final manifestation will speak the word and the dead will rise by the spoken word. They will obtain the petitions of their heart, and they will also obtain the faith to be transformed and raptured, taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the total healing of the body, which will be the transformation. Therefore, let's be prepared for what is coming from God, and remember that the promise of the manifestation of the third pool will be fulfilled in the great tenth cathedral. There is where the power of God is being manifested, first bringing the word, and then the vindication will come, discerning the spiritual things. Discerning the spiritual things. May God help us to continue getting to know, understanding, comprehending the things that correspond to this end time, to be prepared to receive the promises before the divine judgments fall upon this planet Earth, and to escape the mark of the beast, to instead be sealed with the Holy Spirit there in the soul, be filled with the Holy Spirit in the soul, in the most holy place of every son and daughter of God. Filled with the Holy Spirit. We can sing that song. Let's stand. And in that way, we're already prepared to receive this message preached by Dr. William Soto, titled Discerning the Spiritual Things. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill my soul with your Holy Spirit.
Espíritu en el alma, quiero nacer en tu reino en esta dispensación, dame de tu poder, lléname con tu unción, oh mi reclamado. Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Te he recibido como mi reclamador. Testifico con mi fe en esta confesión. Oh, mi reclamado, eres mi Señor, eres mi doctor, eres mi José, mi reclamador. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo. Llena mi alma con tu santa unción. Que tu palabra se haga carne en mí. Que tu poder se manifieste en mí. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo. Llena mi alma con tu santa unción. Que tu palabra se haga carne en mí. Que tu poder se manifieste en mí.
He was reading a scripture in this message, The Greatest Battle Ever Fought. And a Brother Branham tells us there, and take the helmet of salvation. That's the soul, the mind in here, the head, cover over the head, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How are you going to let this helmet, what it does? It's a protection. What is a helmet made out of? Brass. Brass can't even be tempered. Hard, harder than iron. A brass headpiece. The what? The salvation. There he draws Star of David to the left. Knowledge of knowing this. And my healing comes from God. My salvation comes from God. My experience matches His Word. Not the church's idea, the Word. Amen. There you are, covered over, with a protection. The helmet of salvation, deliverance. Take that. Then go marching forward. Oh, now that's what we're supposed to do. Satan's army brings diseases. That's what Satan is. He's a destroyer. Satan, the whole kingdom of Satan, is sickness, death, and sorrow, and frustrations, and worry, all on Satan. God is life, faith, joy, peace, over here, see? Now that's the two great forces that's coming together right now. They're battling right here in this building right now. They battle day by day with you. Every force. Satan following you along, that great big kingly priestly Goliath trying to scare the liver out of you. He's right. But God, you're fortified, amen, with the gospel, with the word of truth around your loins. Glory. Preacher, that's what it is. Helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword waving in your hand. Satan, I'm coming to meet you. You meet me in the name of science. You meet me in the name of culture. You meet me in the name of organization. You meet me in the name of this, that, or the other. But I meet you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. I'm coming after you, give way. Even death itself can't stand there. Chop a hole right through it. That's right. Satan's army brings diseases. And God's army is commissioned to cast them out. Amen. There you are. Every time Satan throws any onto you, God's army is to cast them out. Amen. Cast out. That's the very technique that God used. Satan used the army of destruction to disbelieve God's word and set him up a better kingdom than Michael had. And God cast him out. God's method is to cast out evil. That's God's method. And that's your method. To cast out evil of your life. Cast down reasoning. Cast down superstitions. Cast down worry. Cast down diseases. Cast down sin. Amen. You are above it. Fill my soul with your Holy Spirit.
Quiero nacer en tu reino y esta dispensación. Dame de tu poder, lléname con tu Señor, oh mi reinado. Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Te he recibido como mi reclamado. Testifico con mi fe en esta confesión, oh mi reinado. Eres mi Señor, eres mi doctor, eres mi José, mi reclamador. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo, llena mi alma con tu santa unción, que tu palabra se haga carne en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo, llena mi alma con tu santa unción, que tu palabra se haga carne en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí, que tu poder se manifieste
discerning the spiritual things. Let's leave with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.